Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to VFN Radio. My name is John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is the producer, the man himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. My goodness, it is so great to be back on air. And oh my goodness, God's been doing so much.
Did we go somewhere?
We're going everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And my goodness, God's been doing so much. You know, we had some time that we were seeking the Lord during a fast, and many people are praying for the Gulf Coast, and in particular for Pensacola, and really all over the country. But we had an incredible time of just seeking the Lord and hearing what God has to say and humbling ourselves. And my goodness, if you haven't been on a fast in a while, it's a good check.
It's a good thing. It's
a good thing. It's a good thing. And my goodness, God spoke so much, man.
Yeah, he did. It was powerful.
I mean, so many people just heard from the Lord, and God gave dreams, and people just breakthroughs that were happening, and just also, you know, things that were just being said. I mean, we're hoping to have some time where we can really go in depth and really share some of the things that the Lord revealed during this time. But it's always a great time to begin the new year. You know, it's always a good time to set that time apart and to humble ourselves and say, God, here we are. You know, search me, O God. You know my heart, and give us the time to pray and seek Him. You know, we need God.
Yeah. It's amazing how much you can get accomplished when you cut out all those distractions.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's amazing.
It's like, where did all that time go?
And, I know. It's like I never had time to do anything, and all of a sudden all this time just appears. Yeah. Wow, what was I doing before?
Exactly. So. Well, it's amazing because, you know, you just don't stop, you know, eating, but you to have an effective time on the fast, you really want to cut out all the other noise. You want to cut out, you know, any kind of television, if you know, or internet and things of that nature, conversations. You don't pick up any projects during that time, you know, or
not any new ones.
Yeah.
You finish the ones you started.
But you take the time to seek the heart of God and to do the works of the Lord, you know, do righteous things before God, so that, you know, things can begin to line up and go well with you. In today's program, we have so much to talk about. We're going to be talking about, you know, it's February, and this is Black History Month, and excited to be sharing with you a story by the name, a story about a man named William Seymour, who really just in 1906 was used by God to really shake, you know, this nation. And really, I mean, believers all across the world, it is estimated that 600 million people were affected by the Azusa Street Revival. And that ministry is still bearing fruit today, you know, over 100 years later. So we're excited talking about that. Also, during the Super Bowl, Pat, that whole week, a major sex trafficking ring was busted.
Wow.
Which was an answer to
That's
prayer.
Huge.
We've been praying. Yeah,
yeah,
huge.
Definitely.
And we're going to share with you some of those details. But it's amazing. You know, absolutely amazing. And also, President Obama, he has called for the release of Pastor Saeed at the prayer breakfast.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're going to be sharing a whole bunch of that here today and just unraveling here what God wants to share with us. But, you know, Pat, we had the opportunity to watch what was supposedly called the Super Bowl.
Well, nothing super about that one.
I don't know what happened there. I don't know what happened there, but something happened, and you're like, oh, okay, I thought this was supposed to be the big game. You know, I thought this was supposed to be the big one. But after we saw that game that night, you know, I was getting ready for bed, and man, God started to speak to me about the game. And it's amazing. Just God can just speak to you about anything, you know. But I was just thinking about this game because it was the Denver Broncos playing against the Seattle Seahawks, and this was a stunning, stinging defeat. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks won the game 43-8 was the final score, and I hadn't seen such a a beating like that.
It's been a while. They've been really good the last several years, but this one was
horrific. A blowout. Then you had the number one offense, which is Denver Broncos, going up against the number one defense, which many expected this to be, you know, probably one of the best Super Bowls, because very rare do you have, you know, the best defense and the best offense going against each other. Mm-hmm. And what was especially stinging about this defeat for the Denver Broncos is that they were actually favorites to win, especially when their quarterback, Peyton Manning, was having a record-breaking year. Now, I don't know if you knew this, and we're going to tie this into the kingdom. Let me tell you, this is really important. If you just look at the backdrop, it just looks like a game, and it is a game, but it's amazing the parallels that we can see happening in the kingdom of God. But, you know, Peyton Manning, the night before, Pat, I don't know if you know this, he actually won the MVP, which is the most valuable player award.
Of the whole entire NFL.
Of the entire NFL, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. He won the MVP, most valuable player. And you think, wow, what was that MVP worth, really, in a team sport where the coveted prize is the Super Bowl championship? Mm-hmm. You know, after a while, when you recognize when a team wins a Super Bowl championship, it's about, you know, the big prize here is about the whole team winning, the whole team. And so here you have the best quarterback. He has the MVP. And what the Super Bowl does, the victory, it recognizes every single player. But not just every player, everyone in the entire organization. It's amazing that when a team wins a Super Bowl, the whole organization wins. Everybody from the team, the players, to the coaches, to the water boys. I mean, all the way to the people in the front office and the personnel, the trainers, and people selling tickets, the ushers. Everybody gets to celebrate, and everyone is a champion because they're part of that organization, and it takes all of them to bring that victory to pass. And the things that I was starting to see is that, you know, it underscores the importance of not singling out the significance or the importance of just one player, no matter how important that, you know, their position on a team is.
Right.
Because you had the number one quarterback playing, you know, the most valuable player of all the players, you know, in the entire football league. And yet the MVP, the one single player, couldn't win the Super Bowl on his own.
Right.
And they making these contrasts between one player and another player. And what happens is that it requires a whole team to play. It's not about the one person. You either win as a team or you lose as a team. And every player must do their job and know their role in order for the whole team to advance and to win. I mean, Peyton Manning couldn't throw the ball to himself. He couldn't catch the ball to himself. He couldn't do everything. He's just one person. And what is it, 11 other players on the team?
Well, there's 11 for each side. Yeah. 11 offense, 11 defense. Yeah.
So if there's a position, I mean, that every person, every player's position, they're not just taking space on a field, right?
They're all important.
They're all important. They're not just wearing a jersey because it just, you know, looks nice, right?
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting how this is not an individual sport. I mean, the MVP would have meant something.
He would not have been the MVP without the other 10 that were on the on the team.
That's right. You know, everybody plays a role. This is not tennis. This is not boxing, golf. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a team sport, which underscores the importance of the team. And I just got to thinking, and I just felt like, just the Lord just show me some things in regards to the body of Christ and the church. You know, it's not about the one person. It's not about the one player. This is about the whole body, the whole church. It's about all of us playing our part and playing our role. And you think about it, this is how the kingdom of God advances. You know, the expectation is not on one person. It's not on the fivefold ministry that Ephesians talks about, pastors and prophets, evangelists and teachers. You know, that it's everybody. And you look back and you say, my goodness, you know, what can the church do together? Everybody plays a significant part, a significant role. And I just saw that, my goodness, you know, even one player, one MVP couldn't make it happen. And what would happen when the church comes together and everyone recognizes the importance of what they do on the field, what they do, what they bring to the table to the kingdom of God? That's why we need to disciple believers. We need to raise them up and train them up and help them to get in the game. We did a segment not too long ago called "Dear God, Send Us Players, Not Fans."
Yeah,
you know, are you a player or are you a fan? And there's so many people today that are willing to be fans while they're criticizing Peyton Manning, the MVP, but they're not suiting up. They're not playing in the game. And I'll tell you, what God's getting ready to do on the face of this earth is going to require every single believer to know that, hey, it's about them praying, not the pastor praying. It's about them abiding with Jesus, not just the pastor or the apostle or the evangelist or the teacher, you know, reading their word of God. It's going to require all of us, where two or three are gathered in his name, what God is there in the midst of us. And we need to stop leaning to these one individualized people or this one ministry, but understand that it's all of us, the body of Christ, coming together, not just as a team, Pat, but as a family, as a family that's willing to lay our lives down for each other so that Jesus can be glorified, so that his kingdom can advance, all of us carrying a piece of the ark that has been entrusted to us as God continues to move and advance his kingdom. I'll tell you, I mean, it's not about the one person or the superstar. It's about every single one of us.
That's right.
And it just, to me, underscores the importance of helping believers be discipled and raised up. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And maybe you're listening and you're saying, you know what, I've been a part of a fellowship, I've been part of a gathering, but can't say that I'm in the game. I mean, I can't say that I am doing my part. I don't even know if I have a role. Listen, you have a role to play. You have a role to play, but you got to put yourself in the, you have to position yourself to be ready to play. When you look at these athletes and they get ready to play, you know, in any of these games, there's a much time in preparation, weeks, sometimes months of training and practicing so that they can just play 60 minutes on a field. And what they do in those 60 minutes determines the outcome of the game. And so maybe you're saying, I need to get myself prepared. I need to get myself ready. Be discipled. Abide. Apply yourself to times of prayer and to fasting and seeking the Lord, and God will reveal his plan for you. He will reveal what you're supposed to do. Get behind your local pastor. Get behind your apostle. Tell them you want to be used. What can I do? I'm sure there's a long list, and you can join the team and be a part of advancing God's kingdom. Listen, no MVPs here. It takes us all to advance his kingdom. Come on and be a part of the team.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a pastor, and a lot of the stuff he talks about, like certain employers requiring people not to say this, or a school rejecting a kid doing this or that, do they have any literature where I can have, like, all this information in front of me when I'm talking with my congregation about all that's going on?
Well, Terry, the best place to go, and we've got a lot of information on this, is our website. And we've got a great search engine on the website. We have a whole section on what the rights of Christians in the workplace. We've got a whole section that deals with those issues. It's in a question-answer format. It's very easy. You just go to aclj.org. And I encourage pastors and church leaders to go to our website regularly. There's a lot of updates, a lot of material there. And if you want to get information for your churches, it's a great resource and a great place to go.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, and the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We were just talking about, before the break, about it takes us all, and this analogy that we were talking about was, my goodness, the Super Bowl where the Seattle Seahawks blew away the Denver Broncos. I got to tell you, you know, after John Elway, the way he did our buddy, our friend, Tim Tebow, how he did him, I'm just like, you know, well, hey, man, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. But, you know, they made a big to-do about one player, Peyton Manning. And although he had an amazing season, and although he came back from a miracle operation, it said he could never play football again because of his neck injury. In fact, his team basically let him go. So he was with the new team, and he came and broke all these records and won the most valuable player. But one man alone could not win the Super Bowl. And you know what? It's the same thing in the body of Christ. It's not about one person, one ministry, one gift. It's about the entire body of Christ working together to advance God's kingdom. Listen, it's all about the, you know, the gifts are dispersed throughout the entire church. But when the church comes together under the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ, then we can advance his kingdom. My goodness, it just so encourages me to say, listen, it's just not about any one person, but it's all about, you know, all of us and how we all need to say, hey, listen, we have a role to play.
That's right.
You have a role to play. Well, you know, it's Black History Month, the month of February, and we want to make sure that we just share about William Seymour today. In fact, throughout the week, we're probably going to have some more videos and share some more about this just awesome man of God. William Seymour was an African-American back in the 1900s. In 1906, he led up a powerful move of God. It was called the Azusa Street Revival. Many people don't know he only had one eye. He was blind in one eye.
Wow.
And I believe he was well, anyway, we have a video for you from CBN, and they're going to talk a little bit about his life, about two authors that worked together to put a book about the Azusa Street Revival and how he pioneered all that. I want you to listen up.
William J. Seymour was born the son of freed slaves in Louisiana. He attended a Houston Bible school, but when the head of the school prayed for the students to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Seymour had to sit outside because he was black. Even though he missed the prayer meeting, he took the message of Pentecost to a small church in Los Angeles. After his first fiery sermon on healing in prayer languages, he was locked out of the church and told not to come back. So Seymour joined a small prayer group at 312 Bonnie Bray Street. As he preached the message there, the fire of the Holy Spirit came down. People spoke in tongues and were healed. Over the next few days, huge crowds gathered for interracial services. Many received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, including Seymour himself. In fact, so many were drawn to the powerful meetings, the front porch collapsed under the weight of all the people. So for $50 a month, they rented an old barn on Azusa Street. Services ran constantly for 3 years, from 1906 to 1909. As people from around the world came to hear Seymour's messages, the modern Pentecostal movement quickly went global. Segregation had kept Seymour from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Houston. But after he received the baptism at the L.A. Sermons, Seymour took steps toward yet another kind of church reformation. At the time, neither women nor black people had the right to vote. Segregation was the national norm. But the first directors of Seymour's apostolic faith mission included men and women, both black and white. William J. Seymour's life and his ministry illustrate that we are all God's children, adopted through faith in Jesus Christ. And he showed the world that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still available to Christians.
Isn't it amazing when God wanted to do something, he reached down to the lower class, somebody who was a descendant of slaves, and brought forth the most powerful revival in the history of the world. Well, for more on this, we turn to our dear friend, Dr. Vincent Sinus, and his co-author, Charles Fox. They're the authors of a new book called William J. Seymour, Pioneer of the Azusa Street Revival. It's good to see you guys. Hey, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Okay. What happened there? What triggered in your mind? Well, you lived into this stuff. What does it do to you?
Well, when I see that presentation just now, it just brings it back that God did a miraculous, world-changing thing in just 3 years in Los Angeles with a black man who brought white people and people from all backgrounds into that great revival.
How many people were touched by that, do you know?
Well, they had about 1,000 people that could cram into the building, but millions were touched. It's over 600 million in the world now that are touched by that great revival.
That was an old stable. Well, I mean, it's kind of biblical. It was a stable.
It had been a Methodist church, black Methodist church before.
Oh, I thought it had been a stable before.
Then it had been sold and used as a stable and a lumber yard.
Oh, okay.
And a storehouse, but it was first a church.
Well, Charles, let me ask you. You are a graduate of that great university, Regent University.
That's right.
School of Divinity.
Yes.
This is based on your thesis?
Yes, based on my dissertation I wrote in 2009. And the thing that really stood out to me about Seymour was that he was a man of prayer. And so, as Vincent mentioned, we look at the effects, the results of the revival, but I like to look at the things that caused that revival. And for one, the man of prayer, it was recorded from 1903 to 1905. He was praying for 5 hours a day. John G. Lake recorded that for 2.5 years. So God was preparing his heart. Secondly, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, really filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, William Durham said that every time that you got near Seymour, you felt God's love and power every time you got close to the man. And thirdly, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he created an atmosphere of love at Azusa Street, and that's what tore down the racial lines.
I understand he used to be in front of the congregation. He'd put his head in an orange crate or something and just cry out to God. Is that right?
Yes, he did. In fact, when something was going on, if the spirit in the place got to be wrong, he would just simply pray. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was recorded that he would go upstairs because they had their prayer room was upstairs. And also he resided. His residence was up there as well. But if something was going wrong downstairs, Seymour would tap his foot like this.
Yeah.
And tell them to behave themselves. And then come down stairs. If it got too out of hand, he would come downstairs and just pray again.
Racial prejudice was rife in those days. It was right after the days of slavery.
Yes.
I mean, how did they overcome that? It didn't matter. White people came in there, people from all around the world, men and women.
Once again, it was love. I mean, Frank Bartleman said this. He coined the phrase, the color line was washed away in the blood.
Yeah.
But he could have easily had said, the color line was washed away in love. Because even though speaking in tongues drew people to Azusa Street, they were there for that. What kept them there was love. And that's how they were allowed to get together as interracial group in harmony.
Listen, you've written about the effects of this, and you mentioned it before. What is the impact right now of Pentecostalism, or the I guess you can call it that, or the charismatic revival, whatever?
Well, it is gone. It really went worldwide from Azusa Street early on, but then in this last century, it spread all over the earth into every denomination.
That's right.
Catholics. There are almost 200 million Catholics who are baptized in spirit today, and all churches worldwide. It's just been the greatest revival in its effects since the Reformation.
Well, you said 600 million people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit or living now together. They're Spirit-filled people. 600
yes,
million.
It's what they say, and it's growing about 20 million a year worldwide.
Wow.
And it's really nothing quite like it in church history.
Well, you're part of it. You're part of it. And I'm pleased to say that the Lord did it to me.
Amen. Yes, amen. Praise God.
We're children of Azusa
That's right.
Street.
That's
God's
right.
Beautiful.
We are.
What an incredible thing. Well, you've got a book out. Is this just published? Today's the day?
Just a couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago.
The first half of the book is the life story that Charles wrote. It's the best one I've seen. The second half, I edited everything that Seymour wrote and published, including his only book. Is all in this one book.
And you can get it wherever books are sold?
Yes.
It's called William Seymour Pioneer?
Yes, Amazon.com or anywhere.
William Seymour Pioneer.
What a pioneer of the Azusa Street Revival.
Of the Azusa Street Revival.
Exactly.
I got you. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, this is an incredible turning point in the church, and it's available to you. So, guys, thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much.
Wow, this is so, so powerful. When we come back in our next program, we're going to talk more about the Azusa Street Revival and what made this revival so powerful. 3 years, a move of God that shook not only this country, but the entire world, where 600 million people, 600 million people were impacted by God. Join us in our next program as we talk more about William Seymour and the powerful move of God that occurred in 1906. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it. Is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation, and I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat. And in our previous program, Pat, we were talking about, my goodness, William Seymour. You know, this is Black History Month, and we're talking about an African-American who was so used powerfully by God in 1906. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about the wonderful things that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has done and what a great example he has been. But, you know, there have been others that have come before and those that have come after. But one that's come before is William Seymour, and there's so many things to draw from this encounter and from this awesome man of God. But, you know, one of the first things that come to mind is that, my goodness, you can't listen. If you get offended, you're going to miss so much of what God has for you. All right. I mean, William Seymour, this whole thing could have just stopped.
It could have stopped.
It could have stopped if he would have got offended in Houston because, you know, they basically, you know, rejected him. Mm-hmm. Rejected him because of his race. You know, and you look back and you say, wow. What if he didn't? That's what we talked about not too long ago. And hopefully this week we'll get a chance to talk about the importance of knowing God and him knowing you. It's so important because once you know God, once you've experienced God, once you've become God's friend, there's nothing that no man can say or do to you that can stop you. Someone once said, he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody. Mm-hmm. And William Seymour was a man like that. He knew his God, and God used them to do amazing and wonderful exploits. So he leaves Houston, Texas. Sorry, Houston. And goes over to Los Angeles.
They missed out, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, you can miss a move of God. You can miss a move of God. And you never knew what was, maybe it was supposed to happen in Houston. We don't know. But he goes all the way to Los Angeles, and then they padlock him out the church. and we say the church that where they were meeting in that building, because we know that the church is the body of Christ, the people, believers, together. And what happens? William Seymour has a little prayer meeting in a house of all places. In a house. 214 North Bonnie Bray Street. And in this little old house, the power of God rocked it. I mean, there were so many people these guys were sharing with us, these gentlemen were sharing with us, that the whole porch caved in. And God moved powerfully. I believe, you know, it's reported that they were on the beginning of a 10-day fast and the third day of prayer. People were starting to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's so wonderful, having been a part of an awesome move of God at the Brownsville Revival, the Brownsville Outpouring back in 1995. You know, when God moves, when the Spirit of God is moving and the revival fires are burning and the Holy Spirit is moving in power, it's amazing. Without much advertising, I think it was Dr. Brown who said, you don't have to advertise a fire. You know, people come out and, you know, people come, you know, John Wesley said, you know, all you have to do is light yourself on fire and people will come and watch it burn, you know, and you don't have to advertise that. People came from all over the world for the Brownsville Revival. And back in 1906, people were coming all over the world to get a touch from God. Let me tell you that when God is moving, you just want to get there. Mm-hmm. You just want to get there. You want to be in the river. You want to get wet, you want to get soaked, you want the revival fires to be all in you, all over you, and so that you can be a flame of fire and you can be touched by God. And I'm just amazed as I look back and think about Pat, one man. Now, a lot of times people look at a move of God, but they don't look at what happened before the move of God. I mean, right. Even in the Brownsville Revival, there was years that they were praying.
That's right.
praying for revival and had other prayer needs.
But it was prayer, around almost the same time. It was like two and a half years.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Before it broke out.
Sure was. And I didn't know this. I mean, you can only imagine, but I didn't know this for a fact. But we just learned today that William Seymour spent 5 hours a day praying for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And you can't start a revival. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say we're going to have a revival meeting.
Right.
It's a sovereign move of the Lord. God chooses.
And you got to be prepared for it.
Can you ever be prepared?
A lot of people didn't make it, did they?
Yeah. I mean, even with the best intentions and the best way to prepare, I mean, revival is not something that you can figure out. You just have to trust God all the way through it. But it takes humility, and it takes a hunger for the things of God. If you can't embrace a move of God with pride, thinking you're going to figure God out, you know, and God can do so many different things. I think about folks that were got caught up in judging manifestations. It's like, dude, God is here.
Yeah.
You know, God is here. Look at the fruit. And that's why fruit is so important. You know, fruit and what's being preached and what's being shared in context to the Word of God. But I think about, you know, this man's willingness to be just one. You know, before they had the crowds and before they had the house and before they had they went to actual Azusa Street, where they had the barn that used to be the church, and they met there.
Right.
It started in a house, but before it started in the house, it started in a man. And a lot of times people are looking for a revival meeting or looking for a group of people. Listen, revival starts in the heart of the individual. You can have a revival. You can be on fire yourself. You know, revival comes when the reviver touches you, and you're changed forever by Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that I'm looking forward to, I know many of us are looking forward to, just a powerful move of God, a third great awakening that just goes from coast to coast and touches our entire nation. But many today are praying for God to move in power, and I'm just so looking forward to that day. I sense it in my spirit, man. It's soon approaching.
Mm-hmm.
But this last 1906 move of God affected, Pat, 600 million people.
Wow.
600 million people.
That's worldwide.
Worldwide, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting that one of the authors of this book, and which we're going to make available for you on the Torch, we're going to make sure that it's related for you, as well as some of the other segments that we've done on the Brownsville outpouring, and we've talked about the wonders of the Lord. But they talked about how one of the main emphasis during this move of God was love. You know, and having a culture of love and having a culture of prayer, and how love and the culture of prayer and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I mean, yeah, people came because there was the power and God was moving, but it was love that washed away the color lines.
Right.
And how beautiful is that?
Right. Who would have thought?
You know, how beautiful is that? Today, listen, we need to have racial reconciliation even today. And it's not going to be because, you know, a good idea. It's not going to be because we applied some principles. It's not going to be because we've done this big kind of gathering or a show. It's going to be when we begin to lay ourselves down for each other and really move in genuine love, the love of God. And it's just absolutely amazing. I know that's what touched me many, many years ago when, you know, my dad, Pat, many years ago, was ministered to in a congregation that was, you know, for the most part, predominantly white, and I was Hispanic growing up in New Jersey, and we had previously had been to, you know, a different gathering, but the love of God as a young boy, I remember just being a young boy, the love of God, I just genuinely felt the love of God amongst the people of God. It affected me the rest of my entire life, man. Even when I left the Lord, when I was, you know, in my college days, and just, I never forgot that.
Wow.
And the love that they were willing to move with, you know, towards my family and towards my dad, and just, it was just amazing. It was a wonderful, wonderful time as I look back. In fact, some of those folks we're still in contact with today, Pat. Some, you know, 35 years later, mm-hmm. we're still in contact with them. Oh, wow. It was so genuine and so beautiful. So I'm telling you, all we need to do is just move in the love of God mm-hmm. and watch that the dividing walls will come down, and we can see the whole entire body of Christ touched. Listen, Rick Joyner shared a prophetic word that he believes the last, this third great awakening, mm-hmm. God's going to use the African Americans in a powerful way. That's how right. beautiful would that be? Yeah. 1906 all the way to year 2000 is like, oh, come on, Jesus, let's do it again. Let's see God move in power, yes. save souls, and change people's lives forever. Listen, the time is short. Jesus is coming back, and I'm ready for the next move of God. I want to be all in. Get in.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that, because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN Torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton, and we were just talking about William Seymour, an African man in 1906 who was used by God powerfully, a man of prayer, a man of great humility, and a man who just trusted God. And, you know, during the break, Pat and I were just, you know, continuing to talk about, you know, what did that actually mean in 1906? What did that mean? Because, you know, today we're living in a time where we have more technology, Pat, than we've ever could imagine on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about how the last 6 years, the technological advances that we're experiencing today were unheard of just 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. much less 50 to 100 years ago.
Right.
And it seems that there's a culture that's infiltrated the church where you would think that you would need, you know, the best, you know, illustrated sermons. You would need the best books. You would need all of these, I don't even know what to call them anymore, but things to add to God as if you could actually could.
Right.
And that, you know, people, so that people would come and be a part. And it's like, listen, this was a man, William Seymour, who we could say he was born, you know, he was born to freed slaves who probably didn't have much education.
Right.
This was a man who was willing to be taught outside of the classroom. I mean, what he heard was outside of a window because they wouldn't even let him be in the class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a man who probably didn't have a lot of resources. All the different little things that maybe some would tell you today that you would need.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I need this for a move of God. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to have all these different things. And you got to think about, what do you have to have? What did William Seymour have? You know what he had to have? He had to have a knowledge, an experiential knowledge of God, of Jesus. He had to know him. And I'm thinking that the Lord is really reintroducing that to the church again. Well, listen, it's not about any of these things. It's why we're constantly and consistently talking and pleading and encouraging believers to abide, to know God, to spend time with him, to read his word, and to communicate and pray with the Lord daily so that God will reveal himself to us. I think about, mm-hmm. you know, when Jesus was talking to Peter, and he says, you know, who do they say I am? He said to the disciples, said, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. And Jesus says to Peter, well, who do you say I am? He says, you are the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You are the Christ. And he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And on this rock, I will build my church. He wasn't going to build his church on Peter. He's building his church on the rock of revelation,
mm-hmm.
on the revelation of who God is. And listen, we need to be a church that is constantly, you know, searching God out and experiencing the unveiling of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know him. You know, William Seymour didn't have much of anything else, Pat, but what he did have is a prayer life.
That's right.
And a prayer life is what? A direct channel communication with the Lord.
That's all you need, right?
That's all you need. All you need is to know him. And I'm just so charged and so excited and so encouraged as we look at the lives of those who have gone before us. And it just helps us to stay on point and to stay on vision and to remember, let the main thing be the main thing. It doesn't matter, you know, these technologies, all these different things that we try to bring into the church as if we could add anything to Christ. Listen, all we need to know, Paul said, I resolve to know nothing, Pat, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can know a lot of things, but if you don't know him, you don't know anything.
That's right.
And God's calling us to experientially not know him just in, you know, in our heads. You can't know God in your head. You can know information, but to know him experientially where you will know him by revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited, you know, throughout this week we're going to continue to, you know, to talk about Azusa Street and the impacts of this great move of God. We encourage you to stay plugged in. And go on this journey with us as we just continue to say more, more, and more, and more, Lord, bring it. You know, we've been praying for some time, Pat, in our prayer and fasting community. Is God is just helping us grow and giving us grace for praying and fasting. And one of the prayers that we've been praying is to end sex slavery in the world. And the prayer that we've been praying is this. It says, Father, we call upon you for you are our help in times of trouble, our deliverer and our rescuer, and we ask that you send your light in the midst of darkness and set the women and children free who are being sold and traded as sex slaves throughout the world. Send your guardian angels to fight the battle of darkness to set your children free. Let your judgment come to those who are capturing women and children, making them slaves to be used to fulfill sexual needs of those who are evil. Expose those who are involved and destroy the sexual slave human trafficking trade rings throughout the world. We cry out for justice for those who have been forced to being sexual slaves, asking for their freedom and that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, making your son Jesus their Lord and the Savior of their lives. Restore hope and purity and heal the emotions of all those who have been used against their will. Pour out your love over each woman and child who has been used as a sex slave, and let them be a light and a testimony of what God can do. And so we've been praying this prayer, and Pat, I'm encouraged that, you know, during the Super Bowl, God's answering this prayer.
Yeah.
God's answering. I mean, it's not just us. There's others that are praying the same thing, but God is answering the prayers of his church. Mm-hmm. During that Super Bowl weekend, the FBI basically busted a ring. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's being reported by Charisma News that 45 people were arrested and 16 juveniles were rescued in a 2-week crackdown on prostitution. This happened in New York and New Jersey. And this was amazing. They said that the ages of these girls, these children, were from 13 to 17. And some of these you know, children had been reported missing by their parents. Mm-hmm. And you think about, man, how horrible that is. It's also, wow, 50 other women were rescued. And we just thank God for rescuing those and busting up that ring and mm-hmm. all the other ones that are, you know, unraveling. And we shared about the Underground Railroad, and we'll make sure that some of these previous segments are all linked for you so that, one, you can be educated on what's happening around the world, and two, that you can pray strategically for the dismantling and the tearing down of this awful, you know, one movie called it nefarious, extremely evil thing that's happening. I mean, right now you're looking it's a $32 billion industry with 2.5 million victims, and most of the victims are women and children. Mm-hmm. And we want just to encourage you, pray, as we're seeing the hand of God move in such a powerful way, and we're seeing, you know, children being freed. And we're seeing them healed, and we're seeing women restored, and we're seeing their testimonies of grace. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage you, make sure that you check the all the segments, because we have talked about this previously, and we even shared about the movie Nefarious. I mean, it's a mm-hmm. documentary that was made by Exodus Cry, right. And in fact, I believe they're working on another documentary in regards to the human trafficking. Look, slavery still exists today. And God has placed us on the face of the earth so that we can cry out for justice, so that we can be the one to stand in the gap. I often think about, when I think about suffering like this, Pat, all across the world, I just think about, my goodness, we can do so much, you know. I mean, you can give of your time, you can give financially, you know, but one of the greatest ways that you can impact the world, one of the greatest ways that God can use you, is for you to take specific time of consecration, specific time of shutting everything down, where you can talk to God and you can pray. There's no limitations in prayer, right. No limitations at all. And when we're praying according to the will of God, when we're praying in the authority of God, things happen. Mm-hmm. And, light continues to go forth, and we just want to be able to do that. I mean, this is one particular area, but there's so many different needs. But you know what? God doesn't have a plan B. Mm-hmm. He's chosen to use us as part of his strategy, And we actually get the chance and the privilege, Pat, to partner with God to see his kingdom advance on the face of the earth. But you know what? When good men do nothing, evil continues to exist and continues to move forward. I was having this conversation with someone actually over the weekend, Sunday, encouraging them that not to discredit the light in their life. You know, oftentimes the enemy's strategy is to get you to think that you're not doing much for the kingdom, or that your light, you know, doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. Well, you think about it. If your light was to be snuffed out, how many people would be affected by that? We don't realize that so many people are benefiting from the light that's in our own life, from our own relationship. They're being ministered to. They're being counseled. They're being supported by prayer. They're being loved by the overflow of our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And if the enemy can get you to think that your walk means nothing, if the enemy can make you to think that you're not having any kind of impact, you're going to see the fire in your life go down, down, until you have just a little flame. Mm-hmm. And any little wind or any little gust will blow it out. Let me tell you something. There's a fire on the inside of you. Fan into flame. Understand that God wants to use you. Yeah, you may not be able to go all across the world. You may not be able to give large sums of money, but you can do something. You can cry out to God for justice. You can humble yourself. You can pray and seek his face, and you can pray to see things happen and change. Get started today. Cry out to God. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.